Welcome back, everyone. My name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And this is episode 57, I believe, of the Skullscast.
Skullscast. 57.
Where Medibot and myself answer more reader questions and listener questions, or whether you listen or read. I'm sure someone transcribes the entire Skullscast and then puts it on somewhere. Do you know? Have you ever seen one of those? Like a podcast where you can like click and see the full transcript?
I think a few times.
Have you ever?
But I'm illiterate, so it's not really that useful for me.
Oh, so you haven't been able to follow them. Well, I do read, and I can read, and those are totally unreadable. I can't. Like
Which
that,
means
right
I
there.
I should be fine.
I think we've accomplished an inversion error. Maybe I'll just go on. We're going to once again answer listener questions in a segment that we call the Skulls Ask. So this first question comes not from any particular listener, but from the Ghost of Context, who asks, what Wii games would you recommend?
Okay. So you've already got Kirby's Epic Yarn, and you're wondering what Wii games to get. This is an understandable question. I mean, there are lots of options for games that are almost as good as
Kirby's
Epic Yarn.
Get on with the recommendations. I'm going to throw one down right here. No More Heroes. I recommend it based on the best use of Wii motion control. All the Wii motion control in it is understated in one way and overstated in another. Understated in the sense that you don't have to do anything terribly precise with the motion controls. And any time that you do, it is very obvious and flashy as to what you should be doing. And doing so makes you feel like a pro wrestler. So that's great. I loved suplexing dudes with the Wii motion controls in No More Heroes.
That's one of
my reason I recommend the game.
If you can find it, the whole Metroid Prime trilogy is great. If not, just the third one's pretty good.
Oh man, yeah, I should actually get that. I haven't played that.
The trilogy is a little hard to find these days, but the third one by itself should be
I don't care about that. I keep Metroid Prime in my wallet, and I've played Metroid Prime 2.
Right.
So I don't feel the need to go buy them again on the Wii.
Kirby's Return to Dream Land is also extremely excellent.
Oh my god, doubtless. The game is awesome.
I can't decide whether I like Galaxy 1 or 2 better.
Well, I haven't played either one, and I don't think I really would seem to...
Let's see. Skip Mario Kart.
Sugary.
What else?
Now, I did like Mario Kart when I played it, but I didn't think it was, this necessary thing. The reason I ultimately liked it so well was because I arrived on my favorite vehicle being the Wario's motorcycle. Like, every different thing that I would change, I would be like, okay, now I want to try this vehicle. Well, I need it to be this way, and the pendulum would swing back and forth until it settled on Wario's motorcycle, and I'm just like, this is brilliant, this is the best thing. Because that was a fun moment, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend the game just for that.
Sonic Colors is pretty good.
I don't like Sonic games, but I concede that it's pretty good, and I can sort of... Reflecto recommend it that way.
Smash Brothers is pretty alright.
A Brawl?
Yeah,
I guess.
Pretty decent. What else did I even... What else do I even own on the Wii? Xenoblade?
Well, you can recommend Xenoblade. I can't because I haven't played it,
and
I probably should.
I guess along those same lines, Last Story.
Last Story, definitely very good. I actually play
good if you
Muramasa.
Like RPGs. Muramasa is good if you like vanillaware. I don't.
It's very tasty. Also hard.
I died, and then I didn't want to play anymore.
It has this satisfying grist when you're you're fighting a samurai, and you have to
fighting 100 samurai, and then I died.
You're probably fighting 100 monks. They owned my ass, too, and I'm going to have to come back to that game, but it's good. Worthy of a recommendation. It's also on the Wii. It's even
Wii Sports Resort. Not even joking.
Well, I liked Frisbee.
There will be something in there for you.
My goodness, we're forgetting Wario Land Smooth Moves. Or not Wario Land.
WarioWare Smooth Moves.
WarioWare Smooth Moves, which is definitely...
It is a very high-entropy game, and if you like high-entropy games, why not play this one?
Like, I only wish there was more to it, you know? More of...
If we could live in some wonderful fantasy world where, like, every week there was just, like, 20 new things, so you could never really learn the whole thing.
I don't necessarily want that. I just want something other than rope game, you know?
It's rope game. Like, there are other multiplayer modes. Really, there's rope game.
There's rope game. So.
Stonos is pretty fun, though.
Let's see. Was there a Star Fox game that was worth a damn on the Wii?
I don't think there was a Star Fox game on the Wii.
Oh, okay, well. Because those are usually... I can go in for that. Jeez. Maybe I don't like the Wii as much as I thought I did. Or maybe the individual games that I would recommend are so individually great that I totally would get it.
Oh, this is good on the Wii. Let's see, Super Paper Mario was bad. I'm gonna go ahead and just lower my rating on it from, like, to bad. I've decided to hate video games just a little bit more every day. What else? That's like a dozen games.
I'm pretty much out of recommendations at that point.
We probably have missed something, but we've also named a very significant number of games that should keep you quite busy if you're just now getting a Wii.
And to be honest, I played a lot of GameCube games on the Wii. Mm. I'm just like, can I play those? Can I play Paper Mario Thousand Year Door and Metroid Prime again and Smash Brothers Melee again and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I guess if someone's going out, like, they skip the Wii and are going right to the Wii U, that's not applicable.
Yeah. But hey, that's Wii game recommendations. So that came from the Ghost of Context.
Ghost of Context past.
Right. Our next question comes from listener A Skull Never Says Maybe, who asks, "What do you think about that there newfangled Wii U thingamabob?"
I hope they make some games for it.
Oh man, I think that we've kind of covered that question in our other casts.
I think so.
Man, we were going on and on about the Wii, though, tonight.
Yeah.
It's just Nintendo night. Then again, I like Nintendo products more than other game
products. Why is
products. That? I think it's because they are very good.
Quality.
No. I mean that everything that Nintendo does has this, like, ancient predecessor somewhere. And they've basically been refining what they've been doing for so long that the only things that you get out of them nowadays are really well thought through things.
Yeah. With a few exceptions here.
With a few exceptions.
Super like Paper Mario.
The Virtual Boy.
The 3DS is basically a Virtual Boy.
I don't know.
But, like, in a good way.
No, dude.
I love it. I'm
not even close.
It's in my hand right now.
I know. That's the reason why it isn't. Virtual Boy was beyond a bomb. You just anyway, they've carved out a really good space for themselves, and all of their stuff is really fun. Their main game, they have a brand in a way that, like, PC games and other console games just don't. Like, what's the brand of the Xbox? Like Halo and God of War and stuff. But even that. Those references are, like, 5 years out of date by this point.
No, like, Halo 4 came out, like, a month or so ago.
Oh. Okay, well, refreshed or renewed. But it's not like you look at Xbox 360 and see Master Chief. You look at the Wii.
They'd really like it if you did.
You see Mario. And for all that you might think or not about the Mushroom Kingdom and the mythos and the brand of Mario, he's recognizable. And he has a lot of fun games to his name over the years. And that gets me every time. It's like, yeah. So with the Wii U, I anticipate it being more the same, more like really well cultivated and complete designs, a focus on fun over like console power or anything. But God bless them, those bizarre adverts that they had.
I haven't seen any of those. I gotta look those up.
No, I know that you have because you were in the room while we were watching them. It was the one that was like the pre-E3 advert thing for the Wii U that had this whole lengthy case study of an American gamer. And it had the guy in a purple shirt that said orange shirt on it.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Was that really an advert or like a special...
What else could it have possibly
been?
Yeah,
it's an advert.
It is definitely an advert.
Okay.
And it was incredibly bizarre. It was
highly unusual.
And also insulting.
Yes. As all games like, should be. I want all my games to be bizarre and slightly insulting.
I didn't like it for that. I appreciated how toxically bizarre it was, but man, if that's really how they see Americans, I'm
are
really
they
offended.
Wrong?
Yes.
Not by much.
Pretty
by close.
Plenty. My God, dude. Maybe we'll just do a review of that or like a. Ooh, I know. We can do a Retsupray kind of thing.
Oh, no, we'll go, I'm awful at this.
We'll go dig up that thing. I'll carry the team through it.
Okay.
We'll do it, damn it.
I'll recite poetry.
It's too insane to... I will put a vice on your skull.
I will put a vice on my table.
Very good.
So the Wii U.
That's what I make of the damn thing.
Wii U.
The Wii U.
Like Pikmin 3 looks like it's going to be pretty good. I'm pretty excited for that.
Yeah.
I like Pikmin.
Yeah.
2 a lot.
And again, I guess I'm in the same boat as you. We're kind of waiting to see the fun game that comes out. That's going to be on it.
I'm hyped for Rayman Legends and Pikmin 3. I've heard Zombie U is actually like kind of good, and it's this sort of like brutal hard death by zombies simulator where you're going to constantly die and there is no escape, and that's sort of how the game is designed.
Yeah.
So that
sounds pretty
neat.
Good. It's time to move on to our topic level skulls asked question
topic
of the night.
Of the night.
It's all of those things. It comes from Cuboid64, who asked us, which Pokemon gen is your favorite, and what do you think the series might be missing?
Everyone
which
I've
gen
talked
is your favorite first?
About Pokemon has some really strong opinion about which gen is the best and the worst, and I've never, like... That question did not even enter my mind until other people demanded that I answer it after they gave me their thesis paper on why Gold and Silver are the best and Ruby and Sapphire are the worst.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's why I've bothered to devote an entire lengthy skulls cast.
Let's see.
For
let's
this topic.
Let's look at the facts. You want me to go first, or you want to go first?
Well, I was going to accept a statement of like the simple statement of don't have one, which is valid. That's a valid answer.
Okay.
So I had just accepted that from you, and I was going to state Gen 5 for myself.
Okay, so Gen 5's your favorite?
Yeah.
Okay. Go on.
It's not even close. But you can, and now having stated those, the simple phrases, we can move to the lengthy explanations, which I'll let you launch upon.
Like, basically, it's not a question that I ever independently asked myself, because it never seemed really worth asking. Because it's like, okay, if Gen you know, as an example, if Gen 2 is better than Gen 3, aren't you just going to buy the most recent one anyway? Are you really going to, like, go back and play the older version when, in most ways, like, each successive generation is a strict upgrade? Like, the only ways in which it is different and not just better is, like, if you like certain starters better, or certain, like, gym orders, or something like that. But to me, it's like, the new Pokemon game has more Pokemon in it. So why not get the one with more Pokemon in it, rather than the one with less Pokemon in it? My favorite Pokemon of all time, Cradily, was introduced in Gen 3. So that's probably not my least favorite. Each gen was correct when it happened, I guess, to, you know...
Oh, now, I don't know about that. Because that's where I get to cut in with a butt, I think. And put a gigantic old big farty butt in the middle of your
10
statement.
Or whatever. And the first one came out. It's like, wow, this is great. And then I don't really remember how Silver went for me. It had Sneasel in it, though. That was pretty cool. And then Gen 3 played it in, like, high school or whatever. And that was Radical. And it had Cradily. My friend had a Slactus that would always kick my ass. Fuck Slactus. And then, like, Gen 4 and something. And then, like, I didn't even beat Gen 5. I have it, but I haven't beaten it yet.
You say yet, but I don't know if you're going to go back.
I don't know if I am.
Because from what you've said both here and previously, it sounds like you're not drawn in the same way. Which would be a reason to choose a different previous generation as your favorite, perhaps. However, as to the each one was correct at the time statement, I want to insert a but in that. In the sense of my own experiences with the various generations of Pokemon and all that shit. Where I played Red and Blue, and it came out in America, and they were a hell of a lot of fun. You know, I raised Pokemon and liked the single-player game itself, like, so-so. It was all right. But the best was when... You know, we had all, like, my friends and I had all done and beaten everything and gotten our Mewtwos and whatever, and then would fight each other.
Yeah.
And this was the best.
It was pretty much great.
Because I kicked all of their asses.
Yo, did you establish, like, gyms and give out gym badges?
No, we weren't formalized enough for that.
Yeah,
we were a really loose assemblage of rogue.
That's also fine.
Pokemon
that
trainers.
That's a fine way to play Pokemon.
We were a more Wild West kind of approach, where you know you would keep your big old brick Game Boy around, and later the Game Boy Colors that were slightly less brick-like and easier to transport. Mm. And if someone challenged you, you had to accept.
Yeah.
And then you got to state terms, though. If they challenged you, so there was a back and forth to it. But I mean, I trained more than everybody else, basically, so they never really had a chance. And also, there were some wonderful stories that came out of this, where, like, before getting to the point, because, like, my other friends got it before I did, and they had, like, months head start on me in this, and one of them decided to be, like, an asshole, and challenged me when he had, like, higher level stuff by a lot, and I just didn't. So there was a huge level disparity between, like, my fighters and his. But nonetheless, I fought hard, and it came down to my level, like, 32 Pikachu versus his level 50 Moltres.
Oh, wow.
Right? And that was, like, the last thing on my side, on his side.
Bad news.
But I fucking beat him, because his stupid fire spin move kept missing, and I paralyzed him the first round, and I'm just like, and I got, like, super effective damage going on him, like, 6 or 7 times in a row, and it was enough, and I'm like, yeah!
Fuck your bird!
And so there was that one shining moment where I managed to overcome adversity with the help of my friend Pikachu.
Yeah, with a Pikachu, no less.
That was a really magical moment, and that happened in first generation. The other generations didn't capture me the same way. In particular, I didn't have the same like group of friends who were all interested in Pokemon at the same time. And I sort of came back to it later. And so the only merits I had to evaluate the game on were the merits that the game itself presented in the single-player version, which didn't amount to enough of an upgrade to justify its existence. And so I felt like while I was playing it, Gold and Silver, I think Gold is when I played throughout, I thought to myself, okay, this is like more Pokemon, the same thing happening again. And everybody has a different shape, and it's, you know, it's a dog instead of a goat or whatever, and that was that.
Yeah.
And so I felt like this didn't need to happen. There didn't need to be a Gold or Silver, except for, you know, the money. Get back to that.
Well, they fixed the balance by adding the two new types, and then...
All invisible changes. It's not that every change needs to be visible, but for the sequel, to amount to a generation, I kind of want fundamental, big time changes.
Ugh. I mean, like two new types, and the special split, and breeding, and 100 new pokes.
Wait, breeding?
Breeding.
Breeding. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that did happen then, I guess.
And then, like, you ran around in Johto and then went back to Kanto, and then you got to fight Red. He was a huge badass. You had a very high-level Pikachu.
Didn't capture me. Which sort of phrases my entire second half of the argument about the big question that is Pokemon. But I think we'll get to that later. For now, I'm just trying to poke holes in the idea that absolutely every new release was exactly what it needed to be and was a worthy addition to or upgrade from the previous generation. I can certainly concede a lot of just structural changes that I wasn't aware of, you know, the first time through, where just psychic types were this dominating force, and anything that had a special stat was just miles above others in those terms, and Amnesia was this just back-breaking buff.
Amnesia was pretty good.
Like, if you could get past your friend's Mewtwo with your Mewtwo or whatever, then you had to face down his Alakazam next. That was more or less how all the
it was Exeggutor or whatever, yeah. We're starting.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, because for me, Pokemon started as, and basically always was, a multiplayer experience.
Yeah.
And that led, you know, so to me these changes are big and important and lead to interesting effects, whereas from a single player perspective, they're going to seem smaller. But go on. Did you play Gen 3?
I think I played Sapphire, like, after the fact.
Mm.
Like, way, way, way later. And it was like, alright.
Mm.
I felt like... This was after I had played Diamond.
Okay.
And
that's
I was playing through Sapphire to make more Pokemon available to me in Diamond.
Yeah.
Because there, I could, like, move them up.
Yeah, get your Reggies.
Thing. I did get my Reggies.
Yeah, Reggie. Actually,
I was happy about it. But What was good in that? I guess the colors were good? I don't know. I was underwhelmed by the whole thing. Felt by that point like yet another Pokemon game. And not,
like, well, not what,
the same
what
kind of, like,
Gen 3? I'm trying to remember. What was new and exciting? Abilities.
Well, your dude had white hair.
Your dude had white hair.
It's kind of a
thing. And again, you know, I'm thinking of things that affected the multiplayer experience.
The bike went really fast.
You had a better bike.
I guess there was Shedinja. That's kind of
we
a...
We did have Shedinja.
A fundamental weird thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, because that was along with the introduction of abilities.
Yeah.
The passive...
He as a Pokemon and a gimmick can't exist without the abilities.
Yes. But then, like, a lot of, like, weird ones and the way that changed. Strategies, again, in... Mostly in multiplayer.
Although I did enjoy the single player a little, because really early on, I caught a bunch of Zigzagoons with pickups.
Yeah, Zigzagoon.
And they very rapidly made me wealthy beyond my imagining.
Zag.
As they picked up nuggets.
Nuts.
And so I just rolled through the early game, this, like, deep-pocketed kid. I was like, yep, I can buy anything. And I had all of the best stuff available at the stores all the time because of my army of Zigzagoons. My goon squad, as it were.
Like, I know that I picked Torchic. Who else? I used a Pelipper. He was great. I don't know why I liked him. I have no idea why I liked him so much. He's this big, doofy
pelican.
Oh, pelican.
I went and got a Ralts.
Yeah, Ralts was pretty legit.
When that kid was like, oh, I want to catch a rare Pokemon, and then, like, runs into and just sees a Ralts, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, catch that shit. Get your go-to
form. And then, you know, I got one, and I'm like, yeah!
Yeah, like, enjoy your Zam. I mean, Zam is no longer Zam, but enjoy your Zam.
Yeah, basically that. And he was all right.
But it had Cradle
in it. I have a natural affinity for ghosts. Really like ghosts.
Yeah.
Just in general. And then, because ghosts exist in Pokemon, I like them in Pokemon, too.
Mm.
Even if they're crappy.
Mm.
Jeez, especially if they're crappy. Like, first-generation ghosts? Man. It would get so rolled, but I didn't care. I just had my level 100 Haunter.
Yeah, like, Haunter... Like, I want to say Gengar was, like, legit. I forget.
He's legit now. I don't know if he was legit back then.
He had a special score, so...
That's true. Yeah.
So it's like...
They had a special score.
I think he could load, like, Thunderbolt. Just sort of whip
you could
that
TM
out.
It on.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they were better than I'm giving them credit for. Even despite any perceived or actual crappiness, I rolled with ghosts.
Mm,
I'm just like, yeah, ghosts. Awesome. So, Generation 4 came around, and the reason that I played that at all, I did play it, I did enjoy it quite a bit, just on its own, in addition to, like, playing along with friends and everything. And this was also way, way later in life.
Yes.
You know, this was when Diamond and Pearl came out.
Yeah.
I went and got it. And the reason was, someone told me that there was a dragon ghost.
They're not lying.
And I was a little kid, you know, back in the day, and I'm like, wow, wouldn't it be cool if there was a dragon ghost? And, you know, flash forward by decades, and then, you know, like, one of my friends says that there is, and you can get it in this game. There hadn't been one before, but there is now.
Yeah.
It's called Giratina, and it's a dragon ghost. And I'm like, I have to go play this game now. I went and bought it, and that very night, mere minutes after being told of the existence of Giratina, and I played it that night.
Mm-mm.
And I kept playing it, and I enjoyed it. There was a lot that was wrong with it that I didn't really realize was wrong with it until I played Gen 5. It's a reasonably complete game and a complete upgrade to various things. It got a revision.
Yeah.
I mean, Platinum was a straight up, like, oh, wait. Some of this stuff is busted. Let's fix that. And, like, more features and different features and a whole other place to go. I regret that I never played a Pokemon game that had a drafting tower. Or a Pokemon draft challenge.
Mm.
I thought that would have been interesting.
Yeah,
I never played a Pokemon game that had that.
Mm. Was that in Gen 3 where they had something like that? I forget.
I don't know, but I know that it was on the offshoot games. Like
the stadium.
Pokemon Arena, yeah. Stadium, I guess.
And Coliseum, yeah. XD, DMX.
Pokemon DMX.
MDX5.
But yeah, okay, so on to Gen 5, which is my favorite generation of Pokemon games and has a lot of baseline changes that make it really great and a worthy upgrade rather than just the next new thing, you know? Pokemon are animated now. They didn't used to move.
No, not really.
Not really at all. I mean, they had like a little like pose, other pose.
Yeah.
Right? And that was it in Gen 4.
Yeah.
And before that, they were just static images.
Yes.
And now they hop around, they have little animations to them, and they move. And it's not, like, a ton, but it is enough, and it gives each Pokemon more character, and you have more of an idea of what they physically, visually are.
Mm.
Where sometimes with the static images, it's like, what is that? Wait, is that like a tooth or is it a jowl?
I think that's a shoulder.
Oh, I thought it was a feather, maybe? Jeez, but that. It doesn't. Whatever. Because the moving is good. The game is much, much faster. It's responsive. There's not this stupid wait between things to happen. And that needed to happen for a long time. And even with that, it kind of takes a while. And I ended up turning off the animations, like move animations, really quickly because of that. So I was just realizing, man, every single battle takes a long time. Like, even this is Gen 5, and this is after they've sped everything up, and I loved it. I was like, wow, it moves, it's fast, and then it's still kind of slow on the balance of, like, all games and all that. The plot was actually interesting. That's basically the first time that's ever happened in a Pokemon game.
Mm.
Where you have, like, you have two friends, one's the, like, the rival and the other is, like, the ditz. And you go through the game and you have adventures and there are legitimate things that pop up, not, like, silly whimsical thing. Like, well, there's silly whimsical stuff to the plot, but there's also actually provocative questions in there. The bad guys are not just in it for, like, being bad guys. They have concerns that in the real world would be legitimate. Since this is, like, made up fucking Pokemon world, they're not legitimate and you get to, like, go after them. In particular, Bianca's dad. He is a real person from the real world, which is a shame because he lives in the world of Pokemon.
Mm.
And so when he expresses exasperation and concern that his 10 or 11-year-old daughter is going to go out into the wilderness on her own with only, like, this creature to protect her or whatever, he's like, this is crazy, you're not leaving home, why do you think you have to go? And of course, he gets browbeaten by all the other insane assholes who make up the norm in the world of Pokemon. To the point where, halfway through the game, a pop superstar Lady Gaga stand-in type straight up says something insane to him, which he just sort of doesn't accept but doesn't respond to either, and then he goes away, and then he's not a problem anymore.
Confused him with love.
He's like, but wait, this is my kid, and she's just a child. She shouldn't be out on her own. And then the pop star is like, well, blah. I can't even remember the conversation for how absolutely batshit crazy it was, and he just can't answer it. But that it's touching that they would have real, genuine logic in there and genuine concerns apart from that, and a kind of probing question into what it means for this world to work the way it does, and for Pokemon to be these unquestioning slaves that you send to do battle for you for basically no reason, for fun.
Fun profit. You know,
fun and profit. Go fight my little minion. Fight, experience, and do harm.
Kill, destroy.
Yeah, but I like that they put a little nod to reality in the game. And it was fun to watch these insane and occasionally blank characters posed with legitimate questions and topics of interest. And that had never happened in Pokemon before. Mm. So I liked it for that. I liked how the 3D worked. Mm. The world was visually far more interesting than it ever had been. It's like walking around and finding things. That was interesting. Mm. It drew me in a way that that reminded me of my first time playing Pokemon, which shouldn't be possible, basically. It had to be so much better by now to be able to engage me the same way that I just have to bow down to their accomplishment with Black and White. Mm. Now, it had its fair hand of stupid shit still, which brings us to the second half of the question, which let me restate exactly. I've closed the file. I've closed the Skullask file.
The file is closed.
Right, what do you think the series might be missing? Okay, stated that way. The series is missing... I don't know, everything?
Yeah.
That's kind of... I know it sounds harsh and oversimplistic to state that way, but Pokemon is so mysteriously lacking in change or innovation over so much time that it's almost paradoxical. Every single thing that they do is a throwback. It is. But it doesn't feel like a throwback because Pokemon is this changeless entity. What I think it truly needs and what it is missing is a complete overhaul. Mm. It's a 100% new thing. They've tried. They really have. All of their, like, offshoot games that aren't as popular, and many of them aren't as good either. Mm. Things that only you like Pokemon Mystery.
Yeah, I like that one.
Things that only that one guy that we knew, whose name I forget. Pokemon Rancher? Ranger?
Yeah, Pokemon Ranger.
Yeah. He really liked that, and that was about, like, drawing circles around things.
Yeah, and then, like, you don't ever actually capture any Pokemon, but you wrangle them, and then they help you out a little bit, and such like.
Yeah, what other spinoff games have they had?
Pokemon Pinball.
Oh, well, doesn't count. A pinball game, that doesn't count. I mean, if they just take, like, Tetris and throw Pikachu's face on it, I wouldn't
Pokemon
call that
Puzzle
innovation.
League.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, that did happen.
Yeah.
Whoops.
It was,
I was saying it as a theoretical thing, but that's a...
It's real, and I have it.
Hey.
Okay, but, like...
But what I mean for the series... I'm sorry, go on.
Like, okay, so... You know, there have been the rules of the game of Pokemon battling, and of the act of catching and training and raising Pokemon that have been established over the course of... I guess at this point, 15 years. We should throw all that crap in the garbage.
We basically should.
Okay,
I was touched in Generation 5 with the move Tackle. All right? For the longest time, Tackle had been 35 power 90 accuracy?
95 accuracy or something. It had this, like, asshole mischance attached to it for no reason.
Yeah. And in Gen 5, they changed it to be 50 power 100 accuracy.
Yeah, so it's actually more this, like a valid early game move.
Yeah.
Rather than just being, like, slot filler until with, you learn your
with
real
the
moves.
System that they had, that was a positive change. However, that is a bug fix. We should be well beyond the point of just bug fixing all these archaic, throwback, outdated mechanics. For a counterexample, a strong counterexample, take Dragon Quest IX. Right? They also have throwback mechanics in there. And even down to some of the sound effects that happen and how the text scrolls on the screen, a lot of it is... I mean, you could lift that out of Dragon Quest IV or III or what have you. However, there is a significant enough change to the battle system and introduction of mechanics, a kind of third leg to the system of like turn-based mechanics that they have, and also a lot of classes with interesting moves and multiple valid options and builds that is wildly different and more imaginative and innovative than the stuff that has gone before it. So they've kind of found a way to take the old along with them, take the best parts of that, and introduce into it a new system that does fun things with the existing mechanics. I actually want from Pokemon more than that. I don't think that at this point any third leg to existing mechanics would feel right or valid. That was when they introduced abilities.
Mm.
You know, that's that change. That's sort of like, this didn't happen before, but hey, now we have that, and you know, you can build around them, or, you know, sometimes they matter a lot, sometimes not so much. You know, there are certain Pokemon who are defined by their abilities, and certain others who just sort of have them sometimes. I like that all the starters, like, had the same kind of ability.
Yeah.
Where it's like, desperation mode! That leads to, like, thrilling battles. But yeah, I want to throw all of it in the garbage and just be like, let's take the most fun theoretical parts of Pokemon. The most fun thing in Pokemon that made it different from every other RPG that I had played up to that point was the fact that you could capture things. You could capture anything. If you saw it in the wild, you could get it.
Yeah.
It could be yours. That was awesome.
You could be a contender.
That was so cool. So there's not only the standard, you know, RPG monster encounter imperative to, like, destroy whatever you see before you. That kind of thing. I mean, that also exists, but you could establish this secondary objective of, well, maybe we shouldn't destroy it, maybe we should weaken it to capture it, and you had to do different things in order to accomplish that, and it put different pressures on your resources. That became an interesting and separate challenge, where the payoff was a new, like, creature of your own that would add to your overall glory as a collector of monsters.
You can unlock so they further need to keep strategic options in
yes.
future battles.
So they need to keep that.
All right, so we still
that
want
thrilling
to catch
sense
Pokemon.
Of capturing things. Mm. Pokemon is never going to get past the nature of capturing things.
Capturing perhaps them all?
Yeah, that that well should be the thing that they keep with them. You know, I think of it as a defining aspect. You take that out, and it's no longer a Pokemon game. I don't care what branding you've put on it, or like whose stupid Pikachu face you've put on it. That's not a Pokemon game.
Stupid Pikachu face. I called a guy that once at a bar, and he punched me.
I mean, I wouldn't. I'm not going to sit here and figure out what the new Pokemon thing will be.
But we still want to have capturing. We still want to have the idea that, like, you have a bunch of them with you at any given time, but not all of them with you.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Depending on what the system ends up being, it would make sense or not to restrict in what available options you have. There should be resource management, probably.
Yes.
So however that happens or gets accomplished, there should be battles. You know, that's the kind of stuff.
Right, because you have the wild battles and the trainer battles, and the trainer battles are sort of more set up and theoretically symmetric, whereas the wild battles are less symmetric. And that's sort of neat.
I think there should be exploration and consummate rewards for exploration. Often the reward can simply be getting to a point where this is the only place where this guy shows up. You know, so you can track down infrequently or rarely seen Pokemon. That's a thing.
I think that happened to a limited extent, where in some dungeons it would be like, you know, it's not just that this Pokemon lives in this dungeon, but you need to get across this lake, and to get across the lake you need to do this other thing, and then go in this door.
Yes, however,
such like.
What I want more out of the game is an in-game method of learning all that. I don't want to have to figure out on my own that you can catch Dratinis by going into the middle of the mountain and then going deep into the mountain and to a river and down the river and then walking up to a waterfall, but not going up the waterfall, but fishing into the waterfall. That's something I shouldn't have to look up in a FAQ elsewhere. Or, I mean, the only in-game hint that this is the case is that if you see a Dratini from somewhere, possibly a trainer battle or whatever, you can go to the Pokedex and then it'll show you, like, the area.
Yeah, whereabouts a Dratini might be found.
Yeah, and then it shows you, oh, anywhere in this mountain range. Thanks for that. Like, where's the person who tells me, oh, try fishing into a waterfall, or perhaps a better method for finding that kind of shit out?
Okay, so do weird exploration stuff, but give in-game information about
right.
That sort of
I mean to say, make the exploration a fundamental facet of the game, in the way that you can guide the player in the methods of exploration and reward them for doing more exploration on their own.
Okay, so a game
so we have,
that really focuses on, you know, you're a Pokemon trainer, so you want to catch Pokemon, and part of that is going to weird and exotic places to find weird and exotic Pokemon to catch.
Yes. So that's part of it. You have battles, you have catching, you have trainer battles, you have exploration. I think that they should keep the idea of types, but could probably change it a lot. I think that typing is important. It's important enough to Pokemon that we should keep it around. I mean, you can look at them and say, oh, that's a fire type. I like fire types. And it's like, oh, that's a psychic. He looks weird. He's a psychic. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
It should stay with them, but not necessarily work in exactly the same way.
Okay.
At the very least, it needs to stay around as a means of categorizing and evaluating Pokemon.
But not necessarily as a strategic vector?
It would probably work as a strategic vector and work to their advantage, but I wouldn't say it's absolutely necessary in the way that all this other stuff that I'm saying is.
Okay.
Hmm.
So that's what you think needs... Do anything about how the battles go need to change, or is that basically okay?
Well, that should be the biggest overhaul.
Okay. Still turn-based, or some other kind of system or something? I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of putting you on the spot here, being,
yeah,
hey, Kaz, redesign Pokemon. You have 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's like, well... What you're doing right here is shouting to the crowd of protesters, okay, what's your vote-ready bit of policy that you want us to establish here? It's like, we want change. You know, that...
It's like, okay, that's
right,
good.
Right, but
what specific
sure,
change
the,
would you like?
Yeah, do you have a 300-page legal document that, you know, outlines...
We can vote on it tomorrow.
But no, I don't know exactly what it needs to be or should be, other than different. I'm going to say that it probably should not be turn-based, because that's one of the biggest, nastiest throwbacks to all of it. It's like we've well evolved past this point. Even the good RPGs nowadays don't really use that. I mean, look at Last Story, for instance.
Yeah. I mean, like, it would certainly be possible to retool this whole experience as, like, moving your dudes around on a map in real time, and or
yeah,
that semi-real time where you occasionally pause the action. Okay, so what we need to make is the next Secret of Mana game by your Pokemon.
Yeah, I would dig it.
It's, like, real time, but you can, like, pause it to do weird stuff or issue commands. But then it's like, okay, and go.
Yeah. I could maybe even see it working in a God of War setting.
So just like completely real time, and you have your
just
maneuvers
have
mapped
it
to your controls and what have you.
Yeah. That would be fine.
Once that happens, though, I'll want all sorts of weird interactions to be possible, and then I'll get upset and just demand some sort of tabletop experience with the game master who I can make demands of, I guess. Like, but if
I don't know if you'll really think that way about this.
No.
However.
But it's like,
that's,
if
that's
I soak it in water,
bad,
then I should be able to shoot my lightning bolt at it better, right? Right? It'll probably be fine, as long as I can still pick Cradily. Can I still pick Cradily in your new game?
It should probably keep the existing Pokemon, you know?
Yeah, I don't think there's any harm in like keeping our current cast of thousands.
Even like retooling the entire system, I'm sure there's a way that we could find space for all the guys who exist. They might not have the same types, because type might mean something
type
new. I mean,
new. They might...
Yeah,
I mean, like...
That's already
usefulness
happened,
might dramatically change, and that is an obvious side effect of this.
Look at Magnemite, for instance. He just got the steel type.
He just got the steel type.
When that existed.
They decided that he should have that. He's made of metal.
He is a robot, so he should have
I love him so much. He's so cute.
Turns into a UFO.
That's I love Magnezone! Disco robot!
By the way, magnets.
In this new game you've designed, can I have my trainer ride around on top of Magnezone?
There will definitely be riding,
yes.
I think. There's enough... right. I mean, that was always kind of part of the game,
already,
too. You know? Because, you know, you had the surf things that you could ride on, you had the flying things. And that was also a really fun and interesting moment where you first got the, like, fly move.
And it's like, whoa, I guess my bird guy can
fast
just sort
travel,
of carry me
awesome.
Places.
Yeah, and so we could kind of bundle that into exploring mechanics.
Okay, so, like, the whole concept of the, you know, we had the hidden machines that were sort of these field abilities, but maybe just instead of making them these, like, items that are also moves, just be like, this Pokemon can swim and can carry you.
I think that would make more sense and be more organic.
Yeah.
And it would also allow each new helper that you get to accumulate your power not only as a battler, but also as an explorer.
Right. It's like,
like, getting this guy helps you explore this way. Or, like, getting a Zubat would let you explore a dark place because they can, like, see in the
right.
dark.
Or, like, a Pokemon that can dig or burrow well could be like, oh, wait, no, there's some loose earth here. There's probably something on the other side. Dig through.
Yeah.
Something neat like that. Or, like, this Pokemon has spooky power, and if he sits on your head, the other ghosts in this ghost house won't try to tear your face off.
Yeah, or there's a mystical looking glass that only a ghost helper can help you step through into the mirror dimension.
Yeah, weird shit.
Where lots of crazy, surreal things happen.
Pokemon is plenty surreal already.
And you can.
We just need to embrace it.
Yeah. So, yeah,
okay, so,
that.
Like, a game... I think Pokemon Ranger kind of does that, where it's, like, your Pokemon... It's very much about, like, this is a Charizard, so it can fly and breathe fire. Use flying and breathing fire to solve your problems. Maybe we should try one of those games.
What, the Pokemon Ranger
games? See if it, like, does that.
Man, I don't want to draw that many circles.
I'll draw the circles. I have practice from Elite Beat Agents.
Oh. See, I've already ruined my touch screen after playing Lost Magic,
no.
I think it was called.
Deeply,
which I loved, by the way. That game was
sympathize.
Awesome. And that... But, you know, the fire spell is burned into my screen by this point because I had to draw it so much.
Yoga Flame.
I felt like a wizard.
Your magic
was
strong.
That was one of the reasons I loved that, because I'm like, I know the spell! And I could just, like, draw it, and then it would do the spell. It was that was an extremely organic system, because the way that magic worked was subject to intuition. You could figure it out just from knowing the things that you, like, knew here.
Mm-mm.
So it's like, I could become a more powerful wizard by, like, reading a book. And I'm like, oh, yeah!
I mean, that's what I do.
I, the player... You know, I, the player, have gained a level rather than, like, my little dudes. So, yeah, that's what we think about Pokemon.
It's pretty alright.
It's really good. We like it. Yeah. It's a good brand, a good theme. Fighting is fun.
We want the next game to be completely different.
Totally different. Not even turn-based anymore.
Nah, just, like, zip around.
Throw that old shit out.
On my Magnezone and have him shoot, like, waves of magnetism at my enemies and just fold my arms and cackle, and maybe I have a cape and a hood. It's a wizard magnet.
And they should at least have a Cubone, or failing that, some other Pokemon that wears skulls.
Skulls.